Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
It is easy to leave a burning building when it is on fire. But what if that building contains the very thing that gives you life, excitement, peace, joy, courage, and wonder? Will you be an agent of change, or do nothing and eventually leave? If you work in Catholic ministry, business, or education, and need quality content on your website or social media pages, contact The Simple Catholic for copywriting services at thesimplecatholic.blog and click on the writing services page for more information. The Church Militant needs soldiers against the enemy. Enlist The Simple Catholic in this fight for the truth. Good News Ministries of GNM.org. It's the Catholic place for growing your faith. Good News Ministries will provide you with faith-building reflections, virtual retreats, prayer resources, and lots more. All of it is free. Visit GNM.org today.
Welcome to Hour 2 of Catholic Answers Live. I'm Sherry Brown-Rigg and Cy Kellett, still in Australia, and I'm so happy to be with you for a third day in a row. Such interesting discussions, and this hour is no exception. And we have with us Dr. David Deevil. He is visiting professor in the Catholic Studies and editor of Logos, a journal of Catholic thought and culture in the College of Arts and Sciences at the University of St. Thomas in St. Paul. And does a lot more, too, and we'll talk about that as we go throughout the hour. But welcome, David. It's great to have you here.
Thank you, Sherry. It's good to be here.
And we're going to be talking this hour about Cardinal Newman education, about the canonization. And first and foremost, we all need to say some prayers for David because it's 1 a.m. He's in Rome right now and anticipating the canonization this weekend. And that's going to make for a pretty long day for you tomorrow.
Yes, yes. It's an exciting week. We've been here for a couple of days, a number of colleagues and I from all over the place coming to celebrate the canonization. Tomorrow we're going to go to Cardinal Newman's titular church in the morning for Mass, San Giorgio in Velabro, and then we're going to go to a conference at the Angelicum University on Newman, and then the canonization will be on Sunday.
Well, I hope you've got some strong coffee for the rest of your day.
Yes. Roman coffee is very good that way.
Oh, yeah, it is. They don't give you near enough, but maybe you don't need as much because it's pretty high charged, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah, it is indeed. Well, I want to give our listeners the number again. Many of you know it already, but it is 888-318-7884 if you'd like to call in and ask a question of Dr. Deevil about Cardinal Newman, about his role in education, about the canonization. And I guess the very first question that I have, David, is, you know, obviously Cardinal Newman being canonized a saint, there are some really important things about him that make him the right saint for today. Why is he such an important figure for our modern world?
Well, I mean, you know, I might start by giving just a little bit of his story. You know, he was born in 1801 in London to a sort of ordinary family, not very devout, but ordinary Anglican family. He had a deep conversion experience at the age of 15 after reading a number of books, and he realized that there was a God who was real, and that this was a God who taught the truth. He went on to Oxford and studied, and then he went into the Anglican ministry because he realized that God had a plan for his life. He tried to make the Anglican Church more Catholic, as he saw it, and as he went on in his ministry and his study in his 30s. He realized that the Catholic Church might be connected with the Bishop of Rome in a way that he hadn't thought about before. So by the time he was about 44, he had become convinced that the Catholic Church was the church centered around the Bishop of Rome, and he gave up everything and became a Catholic. He then became a priest and started a religious community, the Oratory, collection of diocesan priests who live in community. And then he did ministry. He did a lot of different activities in terms of charities. He started a Catholic university in Ireland at the behest of the Irish bishops. And he continued to write and give counsel for the rest of his life. And he lived to be almost 90 years old. So he lived a very long life. And there, I'd point to three things that he really was important for in his age and in our own. The first one is he thought a lot about how doctrine develops, how it doesn't evolve and change into something that is different from what went before, but how we have new understandings of the old faith. The second one is that he thought a lot about faith and reason, about how they're not opposed as many people think they are, but instead they're interdependent. St. John Paul II in his encyclical Fides et Ratio lists a number of people who are important to thinking about how faith and reason go together. And Newman was one of them. And then the third one is the topic for today, which is education. And Newman always said, education is my line. And he thought about what a real education is in opposition to sort of mere instruction or credentialing or any other ideas that, that a lot of people have about what education is.
In terms of education, what did he mean by real education? You've given us a little taste of that, but can you go a little bit deeper?
Well, I think he thought of education, particularly at the university level, as something that is taking in the big picture. He liked to talk about a lot of terms, liberal education or philosophical education. What he meant was a comprehensive look at the world, a kind of gaining of a worldview that took in everything and wasn't just a matter of skills, although those were important. He had professional studies in the university that he started in Ireland, and it wasn't just sort of facts. He understood that a lot of people can get a lot of facts and be trivia champions, but they aren't truly educated. Instead, what it was he said to have a view of the world, and he described being educated, the end of education, as a kind of an inward habit or a disposition, a way of looking at the world and a readiness to be able to adapt to new facts and put those into your worldview.
We are talking with Dr. David Deevil, and he is talking about the canonization of Cardinal Newman this Sunday, also his role in education. And we're inviting your calls, so if you'd like to join us, 888-318-7884 is the number to call right now. We've got plenty of open phone lines, so you're going to get right in at 888-318-7884. And David, you talked about that liberal knowledge, and that means kind of a way of comprehensively looking at the world. I know that some people actually have objected to that idea, saying that it's really not practical. What does that mean, and what do you think?
Well, I think what people think is they think of a liberal arts education and they think, oh, well, you know, you're going off to study poetry and theology and philosophy. And really what you need are just to get good skills and get a job. Newman was very well aware of the need for jobs when he started his Catholic university in Ireland. Part of his pitch to the Irish people was that only by giving, the cream of the crop of the Irish, Irish young men an education, could they take their place in the world? So he saw this capacity to have a real view of the world, not in opposition to professional success, but he saw it as a necessary condition for real success. And he argued to the Irish people and to the world in his great book, The Idea of a University, that actually a liberal education makes somebody more flexible and more capable of doing a number of different jobs, whereas just vocational training, which there's nothing wrong with that, is often very limited. It's to one skill or one set of jobs. So Newman thought that liberal education was actually more useful than useful education in a sort of strict sense.
So would it be fair to say that when talking about that liberal education in terms of how Cardinal Newman thought of it, in that it really kind of teaches you how to think?
Yeah, I think that's a good way of putting it. I think a lot of people, talk about critical thinking, and when they mention this, it sometimes sounds as if there's no content to it. It's simply an abstraction. But Newman thought that how to think was intensely tied up with knowing a lot about different things. So his ideal of a liberal education included knowledge in a variety of areas, because he thought that knowledge was all one thing. He called it a circle of knowledge. And he said, somebody who's not educated and has part of the circle pulled out of their own education would find themselves imbalanced and end up being kind of a crank or a quack. Because they wouldn't see how everything really hangs together.
Yeah, well, that makes some sense. And, this gets me thinking as well about some folks that I have come across that they downplay the role of education. They probably would be diametrically opposed to what Cardinal Newman is talking about here, because they're suspicious of education, because sometimes people, I think, falsely rely on that to show, here's what I know about the faith, and I'm very educated, therefore you should listen to me. And sometimes, they feel that more of a simple faith is much more valuable. But I have a feeling that Cardinal Newman probably wasn't really advocating that. I'm sure he had really well-rounded thought in mind.
No, absolutely. He defended people of simple faith in many of his works, and he understood that not everybody is capable of going into depth for things, but he understood also that many people do have that capacity and they have a kind of duty to do it. Mm-hmm. So his educational ideal was that people would be trained intellectually, spiritually, and socially in their university education, so that they could actually act in the world, not only to gain professional success, but to work for God's kingdom. Our program in Catholic Studies at the University of St. Thomas focuses on that. We encourage students to certainly get educated, but we're also about human formation. And we have a chapel in our building, and the students pray together and play together, and they also study very hard together. And it doesn't make them sort of eggheads or prideful. Instead, it makes them really capable of dealing with a lot of the issues that are out there in the world.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. We're going to talk more about that, the Catholic Studies program as well. But in the meantime, I want you to call in 888-318-7884. We have a couple of lines available for you, 888-31-TRUTH. And we will be back with Dr. David Deevil and Catholic Answers right after this.
Got questions? Visit us today at Catholic.com.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
What's stopping you from becoming a Catholic?
Why can't women become priests?
I don't understand why I have to earn salvation.
How is it possible that God created everything?
Why do I need to confess my sins to
a
priest?
Why is the Catholic Church so unwilling to wreck?
The Catholic Church is too rich.
Catholics worship Mary and are committed.
As far as I'm concerned, all religions are equal.
You are called to communion with Dr. David Anders. Tonight, 11 p.m. Eastern, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome back. It's Catholic Answers Live. Sherry Brownrigg in for Cy Kellett, and glad you are with us too at 888-318-7884. That is the toll-free number to call to get your question answered by Dr. David Deevil. And we're talking about Cardinal Newman and his canonization, of course, this weekend, and what he thought about education and much more. So again, that number, 888-318-7884. And David, we'll get to the phones here, but I do want to tell our friends about something that is going on here at Catholic Answers Live. So you've been hearing us talk about the Bible as a Catholic book. Well, maybe you didn't know that. And if you did know it, do you know why it is? Well, Jimmy Akin can teach you, and you can sign up for a free course right now at Catholic.com. Click on Jimmy Akin's free video course tile. It's near the bottom of the page. Really, really simple to do. It's free, and you can enroll right now. And I really highly recommend that you do it today, because it's a great way to really kind of get yourself steeped in all the answers when people question you about the Bible. And they do. And that's at Catholic.com. So head into the phones now. We've got, let's see, this is James in Ohio watching us on YouTube. Hey, James, you are on the air with Dr. David Deevil.
Hello, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I am a member of a parish, and it's a beautiful parish, and we have a fairly large school area-wise that we've, I guess, recently in our history expanded to, but enrollment is down, and I was wondering if Doctor would have any teaching of Cardinal Newman for a struggling Catholic educational outreach.
Well, you know, Cardinal Newman also ran a boys' school. In addition to his founding a university in Ireland, he also ran a boys' school. But I think for at all levels, what one of the things that he emphasized was that the people who are teaching should not only know their subjects, but they should be very devoted to their faith. And so he wanted a good mixture. So I don't know what your school is like, but I think many people are looking today for parish schools that really have solid academics, but also have a real encouragement and an evangelization of their children. So, I mean, I think that looking at maybe what the curriculum is like, and maybe looking to see whether teachers are fully on board with working with kids to not only form their minds, but their hearts also, is one of the big questions that's out there for a lot of schools.
Thank you for that answer.
Does that help, James?
It gives me, I thank you very much. And that gives me hope, because I know that our community is adding some new folks, and the youth ministry is growing, and the children are really taking towards the heart of the youth ministers, and that's very reassuring to hear that type of advice. Thank you.
Well, James, I'm so glad that was helpful for you. And James is now gone, but that frees up a line for you, so you're going to get right in at 888-318-7884. Again, we are talking with Dr. David Deevil, and you might have seen him all over, really, in media. He's appeared in Wall Street Journal, Commonweal, First Things. You might have seen him on CNN, and he's a frequent contributor for Catholic World Report, The Imaginative Conservative, and National Review. And he's in Rome right now. He should be sleeping, but he's spending his time with us here on Catholic Answers Live. So do call in and take advantage of the opportunity at 888-318-7884. You know, thinking about the Newman's gift to education, you know, really what he gave to the modern education system is really profound. What do you think he would think of what it is now? And has it changed a lot from what he actually was envisioning?
It has, but many of the same trends that were at work in his time are at work in our time as well. You know, he was looking at a world in which education was becoming a kind of professionalism, a job training maneuver that people would use. They thought about education in very utilitarian terms, that it was a learning in order to do something and not this formation of the mind. I think he also saw that as connected to the idea that, especially at higher education, it's a very specialized endeavor, that if you are at a university and you're teaching physics, you know, you don't talk to people from other departments. You don't almost have any time, and you focus on your own thing. If you're in literature, you focus on your own thing. And I think that those those trends are continuing today. A lot of times people no longer will call the modern university a university, indicating one, but instead a multiversity where there are a number of subjects. So I think he would have seen what's happened today, and he would have said, well, this is one of the things that we need to fight against in a certain way and offer alternatives to.
Okay, very interesting. Yeah. Well, yeah, when you think about the students out there, and I wish we could get a student to call in and say, all right, what would he say to me right now? But we don't have that yet, so I'm going to play the role of student, David. What would he say, Cardinal Newman, what would he say to students now, you know, who are really kind of struggling through some of these courses and trying to get the best education they possibly can for this modern world? What do you think he would say to them?
Well, yeah, I think he would encourage students to think about this knowledge that they gain as part of a whole. And there are a number of options out there for schools that are trying to provide that kind of holistic education or programs that provide it. Sometimes they're kind of extracurricular programs. Some of the great Newman Centers and some of the Catholic campus ministries actually provide intellectual formation at some of the large schools. The Texas A&M Aggie Catholic Program or the Newman Center at University of Illinois, places like this. There's our program, the Catholic Studies Program at the University of St. Thomas, which provides a major that integrates all of the knowledge and gives students an idea that everything is one and that it's all God's truth and that they can pursue their other majors, whether that be engineering or business or education or whatever, and that can be integrated into their lives, and they can be both productive and they can feel whole and feel as if they do have a view of the world. So you know, I would encourage students who are frustrated to think about how they can find that integrating factor in their educational lives.
Yeah, that's a little bit what Dr. Michael Naughton was talking about last hour, too, was integration and how important that is. Not having this over here and this over here and never the two shall meet, but really being that integrated person in Christ, you know, and through all things, not just your faith, but through all things. Yeah. Dr. Mm-hmm. David Deevil is with us, and he is with the Catholic Studies Program at the University of St. Thomas in Rome right now for the canonization of Cardinal John Henry Newman, which happens on Sunday. Here's the number to call if you would like to get in and talk to him, 888-318-7884. And just on the heels of you talking about the program that you have there, this is a good time just to spend a few minutes on that. Tell us about the St. Thomas Catholic Studies program. It seems just phenomenal, and how it actually fits in with Cardinal Newman's philosophy.
Yes, well, the program was based in many ways on Cardinal Newman's idea of a university. The founders of the program 25 years ago were convinced that sort of modern educational milieu, if we will, that setting that we have in which everything is broken up into different disciplines and they don't really talk to each other, and a lot of the missing ideal of putting it all together, was lacking. They decided that they would put together a purely interdisciplinary program and look at the big questions from a perspective that's whole. So, for instance, we have a beginning class called Search for Happiness in the Catholic Tradition. And it looks at that question of happiness. And obviously the answer is that we can only be happy in God. But then how does that work? And we look from all different perspectives, from art and literature and philosophy and theology and history, at the question of happiness. And all of our courses are that way. They're integrated from the disciplinary standpoint, and the students look at questions as a whole. We've now, we're the oldest program. Now we've spawned probably over 50 Catholic studies programs.
Terrific.
At other universities. And we have about 250 or 260 majors and minors at our school, and they're doing all different subjects. I've had engineering majors, I've had business majors, psychology, physics, you name it. And they find that they can get an integrated perspective through the Catholic Studies program and then a great professional program in the wider university. So it's been a tremendous success. And I think that's due to the vision of Cardinal Newman, and in many ways, based on his understanding of what was most important in education. When he set up his university in Ireland, he thought a lot about where the students were going to eat and where they were going to live and how they were going to get along together. And our program has a building, Sitzman Hall, where the students actually can sort of live that out. We have a chapel, we have mass, oftentimes Liturgy of the Hours. The students organize adoration periods that the faculty and students all take part in. And so they're found eating together and studying together and praying together. So it's been a wonderful experience.
It sounds like heaven on earth, quite frankly.
Yeah.
Well, great Catholic community. Yeah. Well, David, how many, I'm sorry, what's the typical student? Is this a college experience, or is it really for someone of any age? Who goes to the St. Thomas Catholic Studies program?
Yeah, well, our undergraduate program, like I said, we have students from all over and from all different majors. And then we also have a Catholic Studies master's program. That we have, sometimes these are students who are thinking about graduate work, or they just want to know the Catholic intellectual tradition better, but many times they're teachers, doctors, lawyers, all different sorts of people are taking our master's program. And just recently we've started an online program so that more people from, you know, around the country and around the world can take part in that. And, you know, that's kind of interesting question, what Newman would think about online education. But he was a very flexible man. And we found that there are ways that we can create that community even in the midst of the online program.
We're going to have to leave it there for now, Dr. Beeble. But more to come on A Catholic Answers Live. Stay with us.
This is Bishop James Conley of the Diocese of Lincoln. Keep it right here on Catholic Answers Live.
Many Catholics ignore the Bible. They say they have the Church instead. But we should embrace sacred Scripture, not just as the revealed Word of God, but as a Catholic work, intimately connected with the Church from the earliest centuries. In The Bible is a Catholic Book, apologist Jimmy Akin shows how the Bible cannot exist apart from the Church. In The Bible is a Catholic Book, apologist Jimmy Akin shows how the Bible cannot exist apart from the Church, in its origins, in the truths it contains, in its careful preservation over the centuries. Scripture is inseparable from the Catholic faith. This is fitting, since both come from God for our salvation. If you're a Catholic who sometimes gets intimidated by the Bible is a Catholic Book will help you better understand and take pride in this gift that God gave the world through the Church. After all, Catholics are the original Bible Christians. Order your copy of The Bible is a Catholic Book today by calling 1-844-239-4952, visiting shop.catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
When you need answers about the Catholic faith, you need to have someone to turn to you can trust. At Catholic Answers, we take that seriously. And at Catholic.com, you'll find the answers to thousands of your questions on all things Catholic, with an extensive library of audios, videos, tracks, articles, and more that gets larger every day. We've given the site a whole new look with better navigation than ever before and lots of great new features to make your Catholic.com experience one that will have you coming back again and again. That's Catholic.com, with answers from the people you can trust at Catholic Answers. Visit us today.
Do you need God now?
Share your urgent request to God on Monday's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie at noon Eastern.
Now back to more of Catholic Answers Live.
We continue here on Catholic Answers Live, having a great conversation about Cardinal John Henry Newman And so excited about his canonization this Sunday. And we have on the line with us, we've got a great guest who's talking all about that and also his role in education. It's Dr. David Deevil. And he is with the Catholic Studies Program at the University of St. Thomas. And he's in Rome right now preparing for that canonization. We'll get to the phones here in just a minute at 888-31-TRUTH, 888-318-7884. But David, I apologize. We were about to get cut off, and you were talking about, before the break, what Newman would have thought about online education. We'd love to have you finish that thought.
Well, I think that he would have been open to some forms of it. He was a very, his ideal was to have everybody in one place discussing things. And of course, our programs on campus have been that way. And many people really do love the community, but we've been open to the idea of an online component to our education because there's a real need. Not everybody can move to Minnesota. Not everybody wants to move to Minnesota in the winter, especially, but they often want to take part in the program. And we've found that many people are capable of finding a community even in their online programs. We have some blended programs where people meet together at the beginning of the semester and then they communicate online. But then we have purely online classes. And in those, they're sequential. So it's not like watching one long lecture and then answering some questions. It's usually several short videos and then some interaction that follows, and it builds up and it gives the students an opportunity to create the kind of community that Newman thought was essential to true education. That sort of going back and forth about the truth in a spirit of humility and faith.
Well, let's head to the phones now at 888-318-7884. Floyd has been waiting patiently. He's in Illinois. Hey, Floyd, welcome to Catholic Answers Live.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
So I read somewhere that the Latin Mass was the Mass that Blessed John Henry Newman said that he would celebrate every waking moment of his life if he could. And I'm wondering if you think that he would find parallels between the transformation of education for, as you're describing, like utilitarian goals, and and what I see is like the deformation of the Mass for similar utilitarian goals.
Yeah, I think that's a very interesting question. Yes, Newman loved celebrating the Mass. He celebrated until he was so old that he couldn't really get up and do it. He wanted to die with his boots on, but he was infirm. But I think your question about it is a really interesting one, because yes, there's a certain sort of liberality in the good sense about worship, that it's not meant for goals. We're not trying to get in something. It's not like a workout to get something out of it. Instead, it's a sort of free interchange with God and learning in a kind of community that's similar to education. The Mass is not meant to be something that we get through to get something, but instead it's something that we bury ourselves in. It's good, and it might be useful for us later, but we have to experience the goodness of God first. So I think there's probably something to this idea of utilitarianism in education and in worship.
Thank you, Floyd. We do appreciate that call. And let's head next. We've got Josh in Columbus, Ohio, listening on the EWTN app. Hey, Josh, you're on the air.
Hey, good evening, Sherry. How are you?
Well, how are you doing, Josh?
Doing good, thank you. And Dr. Deevil, thanks for taking my question. My question is just regarding the linguistic training of Cardinal Newman. I wonder what types of books he may have read, things of that nature. Maybe if you could point me in the right direction with some of those. And also what he might think of, like, some of the like the typography and the layout of current modern textbooks. And I noticed when I look at some of the older books, it's quite different, but to me, they seem easier to understand in a lot of ways. So That's my question. What do you think you would think?
Yeah. Yeah, no, Newman was very much interested in the classics, both the classics of his own language, English, but also the classics, Latin and Greek. And he found that training in those was a very important part of a true liberal education. Not absolutely essential, but he thought that it was normally going to be that way. Our program doesn't require Latin or Greek, but we do have a lot of classics majors just because our students want to have that sort of depth and breadth because those are the languages in which so many of the classics of Christian literature were done. As for the typography, Newman had a real eye for beauty and for layout. I don't know if you're thinking about the sort of the wider layout or the larger sizes. But he certainly was somebody who marked in his books. And I don't know if you're like me, I love to mark in my books as well. Now many of the printed books don't have any place to write notes. So I think I don't know what he would say exactly, but I do think that he would agree that that's not a good thing.
All right. Well, thanks for taking my question. I'll try to do some more reading about Cardinal Newman. Thank you.
Thanks, Josh. All right. Thanks so much. 888-318-7884. And David, one question that pops up into my mind, thinking about the cost of education today, it's really prohibitive for many, many people. And, you know, causing when they go to university, sometimes it causes great financial challenges for many years afterwards. What would Newman think about that?
Yeah, I think Newman would think that this was a very big problem, and that's one of the reasons why he tried to raise a lot of money for his university in Ireland, because he knew that people wouldn't be able to pay prohibitive costs for this education, but he also thought, I think, something that's very important for our context as well is we have a very modern situation, you know, since the 1970s, say, where there's an expectation that everybody will get the kind of university education that he was talking about. And I don't think he thought that was necessarily for everybody. So we have a kind of new situation, and that's driven up costs in many ways to have everybody going. And, there are all sorts of questions of economics here about the role of federal loans and things like that. I think he would want this true university education to be affordable for those who could have it. But I don't think that he would think that everybody necessarily had to take part in it in the same way.
That's very interesting because, of course, in America, that's just become a rite of passage, you know, not necessarily to go to get an education, but to become an adult. And so, yeah, that's a very interesting view. Well, next up is Eduardo in California listening on the EWTN app. Hello, Eduardo. You are on with Dr. David Deevil.
Hello, good evening. God bless you all for what you're doing for our church. We really appreciate it.
Well, thank
you. My question is the wonders of the teachings and writings of the saints are timelessness and timeliness. Does Blessed Cardinal Newman have anything on conversion to Catholicism, which we need right now, and transgenderism or LGBT confusion? I'll put down the phone and I'll listen to your answer.
Okay. David, I'm not sure if you were able to hear that. Would you like me to repeat the question?
Yes, I heard he wanted to know about timelessness and timeliness, but I couldn't quite hear after that.
He was asking about if Newman has written anything about conversion to Catholicism or about gender confusion or transgenderism.
Yes. Okay. Well, conversion especially, he wrote about his great work was called the Apologia Pro Vita Sua, a Latin title, which means a defense of his own life, in which he told the history of his own journey to Catholicism. And it's a marvelous book. It takes a little bit of historical knowledge, but I think people who have had the journey to Catholicism or are looking at the journey to Catholicism will recognize in his journey a lot of the same questions and a lot of the same issues You know, it was 100, even though that was 170 years ago, it's the same questions there. So anybody who's interested in Newman's conversion would read that, the Apologia Pro Vita Sua. If they're interested in the issue of development of doctrine, which was the big one for him, he wrote a book called An Essay on the Development of Christian Doctrine. He did not write on transgenderism, because I don't think there was any there, that concept really hadn't come about. Even the concept of gender was not present in his age. But he did. He certainly understood the Catholic teaching that we're made in the image of God, male and female, and that our bodies are important. Those are the ways in which God made us to live.
Well, thank you, Eduardo. Very, very interesting question. We do appreciate you calling in there, listening on the EWTN app. And before we head to our break here, we are talking with Dr. David Deevil about Cardinal Newman and education, 888-318-7884. And David, I want to talk for a moment about a sale that we're having here at Catholic Answers Live. It is sale time. It's the fall sale, and it happens every year around this time. And what that means to you, my dear friend listening, is that you can get hundreds of books, ebooks, CDs, MP3s, and DVDs on sale right now. In fact, it's a great time to load up on really solid Catholic resources. You can save money at the same time. Now, we know we buy so many of them. You and I probably both do that, but this is a great time to save money. So just go to shop.catholic.com. You can check out the great savings, and we also have $5 flat rate shipping in the continental U.S. So in addition to the sale, the shipping is well priced as well. Okay, so we'll be back in a few minutes here more talking about Blessed John Henry Newman, his canonization this weekend, and his role in the education system here in the U.S., featuring your questions. That's coming up next year on Catholic Answers Live.
Hello, this is Archbishop Salvatore Cordiglione of San Francisco. Keep your dial tuned to Catholic Answers Live.
Do you love praying for people? Have you ever wanted to use your gift of prayer to share Jesus with others and build up the body of Christ? Start a public prayer station with St. Paul Street Evangelization. Listen to people's needs, pray with them, or invite them to meet you at church. St. Paul Street Evangelization can help you get started. Find out how at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Now, not only can you watch EWTN anywhere, but anytime with EWTN On Demand. Get on-demand access to more than 12,000 EWTN programs, including live shows and specials, all in one place, all free. Just go to EWTN.com/on-demand. There's nothing to fill out, no memberships required, and no fees to pay. All you need is an internet connection, and you're good to go. EWTN On Demand. Fast, easy, and free.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. So glad you are with us. We're talking with Dr. David Deevil, and he is with the Catholic Studies Program at the University of St. Thomas. And he is just really an expert on Blessed John Henry Newman. And we're excited about that canonization this Sunday. And, of course, that's going to be, I'm sure, going to be on EWTN. I know they have all the canonizations there. Do you have a front row center seat there, Dave?
Yeah, I'm not sure if we're going to be in the front row, but we will be there.
You'll be there. That's right. Yeah.
We got our tickets today, so.
It's going to be very exciting. I hope the weather's good for you. And, you know, just so exciting to see these saints when they are canonized, you know, really, really wonderful. And such a blessing for all of us in the church. And, you know, hopefully that we can be there someday. Maybe not a canonized saint, but certainly a saint in heaven nonetheless. So let's head back to the phones here. We've got a lot of calls stacked up. 888-318-7884. Luis is up next. He's in San Antonio and listening to Guadalupe Radio Network. Hello, Luis, and welcome to Catholic Answers.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Oh, yes, my answer. Right now, I'm currently a student at the University of Texas at Arlington. And my question is, how can a student who is currently practicing their faith have a conversation with another student who potentially either lost their faith or just hasn't heard of the faith and had that conversation in a university setting?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think one of the things that Newman always emphasized, he always talked about heart speaking to heart. That was his motto that he took. And so he wanted people to be real with each other. And he was actually very good at opening up conversations with people about issues of faith and about these questions. And he was what he was really good about was being able to say something, but then also listen to the questions. One of his correspondents, who later became a Catholic, once wrote to him and said, "You know, everybody else sort of gives me their talk, but you listen to the questions and you answer what I'm trying to say." So I think, you know, one of the most important things about having these conversations is actually, you know, praying to the Holy Spirit to be aware of when people are going to ask you questions and when these kinds of things can be brought up, and praying for the grace to actually listen to what they're asking and respond to them. And then to also just have courage to say what you believe to them, and even invite them to Mass. Does that help,
Elise? Yes, thank you very much. Yes, that does. Right. That does. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Luis, and good. Love to hear calls like that, because it just makes me very excited about the young people who are in our church and, you know, how they're really out there evangelizing. You have so much more, I guess, passion and courage than a lot of us do. So thanks, Luis. We do appreciate that. Heading next to Cecilia in Rapid City, South Dakota, listening on Real Presence Radio. Hi, Cecilia. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
We're great.
Thank you so
and yourself?
Much for this program. I've been a devotee of Cardinal Blessed John Henry Cardinal Newman since the late 70s when I attended a school that was based on the idea of university in St. Louis. My question is, how can we encourage our high schools and our secondary schools to prepare students to be open to the curriculum that you're describing as the Catholic Studies programs that are across the country? I think too often we lose good candidates because they're not able to see the worth of a non-vocational kind of education.
Yeah, that's a good question. We actually have a program at the University of St. Thomas in Catholic Studies. We have a two-course certificate for teachers in primary and secondary schools that's aimed at helping teachers catch this vision so that then they can pass it on to their students. So I think getting teachers who are open about their faith and open to thinking in a real and whole way about what they're doing is really key to it. And I think that there are these options out there, particularly, we have this program, it's called the two-course study in mission and culture, and we have a certificate program, and that's what we're doing in our archdiocese. A lot of teachers are now taking this, and they're catching this vision so that they can help their own students see what true education is and why they might want to have that. Does that address what you're getting at, Cecilia?
Yes, thank you. I'm very encouraged by that because I think that the message kind of sells itself once people are exposed to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Cecilia. Great question. Great question here. And then we had line two. Martha is there. She is in Tucson. Hi, Martha. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question. I am a teacher of teachers. I teach catechists and teachers in Catholic school faculties. And I tried to get across the fact that they really have to prepare their students to face some of the tough questions that will be aimed at them by the well-meaning, of course, evangelicals. Primarily, one of the questions would be, do Catholics worship Mary? What would you say to me, as someone who's preparing the catechists or the teachers, what would you say to me that I have to get across to them, that they really have to make sure that their students understand this or that? For example, with the Marian issues, the dogmas, of course, but evangelicals don't take that. They want the scripture. So the scripture background there, too. And I hope you understand my question.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, this was a big question for Newman in his journey to the Catholic faith. Was at one point he was very convinced that, you know, Catholics were doing a disservice to Mary and the saints by their treatment of her. But then he realized what it is that they were doing, that they weren't worshiping her as God, but instead they were taking seriously what the gospel tells us, that, you know, we'll be with Christ if we attain to heaven, and that we'll be doing the work of the Father in heaven ourselves. So Newman was very emphatic that this is not a deformation, Catholic attention to Mary and the saints, but instead it's a fulfillment of what the gospel is. I think you need to encourage your catechist to think about this question of what exactly is it that we believe about our own future destiny, because if we are meant to reign with Christ and the saints, then that means something for the rest of the people here on earth in the church militant. But catechists need to know that, and they need to be ready to explain that to their own students.
Martha, thank you so much for calling in, and thank you for teaching catechists. What an important job it is in our church.
Thank you.
God bless you. All right. 888-318-7884. And David, I'm trying to work through these calls because we've got excellent questions here, and I want to make sure we get to them. Yeah. So let's head to the next one. This is Mary in Cleveland, listening to AM 1260, The Rock. Hi, Mary. Welcome to Catholic Answers Live. Mary, are you with us? Well, I'm not sure if she is with us, but, you know, she's got a really great question that I think I'd like to ask anyway. She's a parent of a college student who is pursuing liberal education, but she's worried about his prospects of finding a job after graduation. What do you advise her on, and what would Newman say?
Well, I think a lot of people worry about this, but I think there's actually quite a bit of data to show that students who have liberal arts degrees actually do very well, just as Newman predicted they would. The American Association of University Professors a few years ago finished up a 40-year study that showed that students who majored in liberal arts, regular old arts and sciences, by the end of their careers did just as well or better than many of the professional studies students. And they, you know, they ended up having very good careers. So I think that what her concern is correct, right? You want your children to be professionally successful. But I think the way to do that is to study something intensely. And then once they learn how to think, once they have that view of the world, they're going to be able to go out, and they're going to be able to conquer a lot of different kinds of jobs. And they're going to be more flexible in today's economy.
Yeah. Well, so parents out there, be of good cheer and don't worry. Yeah. You know, just think about John Henry Newman and the way he looked at this, too. And, you know, we've just got a couple of minutes left in this hour. And one of the things that you mentioned earlier when you were talking about the Catholic Studies program was really the idea of community. And you also mentioned that that Newman wanted people to be together, learning together, asking questions, discussing. Can you talk a little bit more about the importance of community and education and what Newman thought about that?
Yeah, I think that he thought that it was essential. At one point, he said the system at the time had many people, you know, taking exams at the end of their university experience. And he said, you know, if I had to choose between just bringing people together to talk about these issues for 4 years and having exams, I would just have them come together, and they would have that intellectual and spiritual community, and forget about the exams. It'd be all worth it. You know, he understood that you needed to test things, but he thought that was the key issue, was getting them together. And I think that it was a community that was not just an abstract or intellectual community of talking about, fancy ideas, but it was a real community of persons who prayed together and played together and did all of those things together. They were human persons coming together. That's why I said our program has a building. It has a chapel. We have an ultimate frisbee tournament every year. We have living and learning communities, because students who actually engage in these discussions, when they pray together and they live together, that's where they find a lot of meaning, and they find that they can answer the big questions in life a lot better, because they've been going over them not only with their faculty members, but also with their fellow students.
So it sounds like community and education is something that's kind of important about the ideal Catholic education. I was going to ask this question, and I hear the music, David, so so I guess we're going to have to leave it there. But listen, we'll look for you in the crowd at the canonization on Sunday.
All right, I'll be waving to you.
Okay, that sounds good. That is Dr. David Deevil, and he's joining us from Rome. It's now 2 a.m. where he is, so we'll let him get on with that day. Hopefully it involves some sleep as well. But thanks for everybody who called in. We do appreciate those calls and love to give you answers to your questions. Have a great weekend. I'm Sherry Brownrigg in for Cy Kellett. So happy to be with you. Thanks so much for listening. God bless.
It's so much more than just a profile picture. At Catholic Singles, our platform offers you many opportunities to get to know the person behind the picture. Sign up today at CatholicSingles.com.
Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at KaneFord.com.